our copies of God's Word this morning to Acts chapter 15. This morning, our sermon that comes from this passage deals very plainly with my hope, I think, is that we will, under this idea of witness, this theme throughout our sermon series of being about the mission of God through Jesus Christ and sharing the message of Jesus Christ, that we in doing so would be removing the obstacles to the mission and we would stay true to the message. For as we see here this morning in Acts chapter 15, as the word of God spreads, it begins to save and it begins to change the lives of many, and we must make sure that, like the early church, as we'll read this morning, and like here, that as we continue to see people come to Christ and reach out and share the gospel, that we remove the things that get in the way of being on mission, and that we will stay true to the message of Jesus Christ. And maybe a subtitle to our message today could be Avoiding the Temptation to Elevate Tradition and Culture Above the Mission and the Message of the Church. Avoiding the temptation to elevate tradition and culture above the mission and the message of the church. Let's take a minute and let's pray for our time together in the Word and ask God to lead us today. Let's pray together. Father, we are grateful for the time that we have. God, we are thankful for the opportunity that we have to come together and to be one voice. And Father, we pray that we would be one mind and one heart and that it would all be in Jesus Christ. And so, Father, we pray for your Holy Spirit to work here in this room, that you would speak to us, that your word would come alive to us, that you would help us to understand, and God, that you would also apply the truth of Scripture to us and change us and shape and mold us to be more like Christ because of today. So, Father, we pray that your word will renew us and that it will transform us as you have said it does. So God, let that be what happens here in our midst today. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. We're going to read through a lot of verses together this morning in Acts chapter 15. So if you have your copy of God's Word, look there, Acts chapter 15, beginning in verse 1. Luke writing about, as the gospel continues to spread, about a situation that occurs. He begins in verse 1 and says, "But some men came down from Judea and were teaching the brothers." Now this is in Antioch, as we looked at last week. And so they're teaching the brothers, the other Christians, that unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. And after Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and debate with them, Paul and Barnabas and some of the others were appointed to go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and the elders about this question. And so being sent on their way by the church, they passed through both Phoenicia and Samaria, describing in detail the conversion of the Gentiles and brought great joy to all the brothers. When they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they declared all that God had done with them. But some believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees rose up and said, "It is necessary to circumcise them and to order them to keep the law of Moses." The apostles and the elders were gathered together to consider this matter. And after there had been much debate, Peter stood up and said to them, "Brothers, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you, that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, who knows the heart, bore witness to them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us. And he made no distinction between us and them, having cleansed their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why are you putting God to the test by placing a yoke on the neck of the disciples that neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear? But we believe that we will be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus, just as they will." And all the assembly fell silent, and they listened to Barnabas and Paul as they related what signs and wonders God had done through them among the Gentiles. After they finished speaking, James replied, "Brothers, listen to me. Simeon has related how God first visited the Gentiles to take from them a people for his name. And with this, the words of the prophets agree, just as it is written, 'After this, I will return, and I will rebuild the tent of David that has fallen, and I will rebuild its ruins, and I will restore it, that the remnant of mankind may seek the Lord, and all the Gentiles who are called by my name,' says the Lord, who makes these things known from of old." Verse 19, so therefore my judgment is that we should not trouble those of the Gentiles who turn to God, but should write to them to abstain from the things polluted by idols and from sexual immorality and from what has been strangled and from blood. For from ancient generations Moses had in every city those who proclaim him, for he is read every Sabbath in the synagogues. And then it seemed good to the apostles and the elders with the whole church to choose men from among them and send them to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. They sent Judas, called Barsabbas, and Silas, leading men among the brothers, and with the following letter: The brothers, both the apostles and the elders, to the brothers who are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia, greetings. Since we have heard that some persons have gone out from us and troubled you with words, unsettling your minds, although we gave them no instructions, it has seemed good to us, having come to one accord, to choose men and send them to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. We therefore sent Judas and Silas, who themselves will tell you the same things by word of mouth. For it has seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay on you no greater burden than these requirements, that you abstain from what has been sacrificed to idols and from blood and from what has been strangled and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourselves from these, you will do well. Farewell. Now, candidly speaking, how grateful were the men of Antioch that that was the response, that there was no need for circumcision after coming to know Jesus Christ. Great relief amongst all of those men. But just imagine the message if somebody came and said something as preposterous as that, like, oh, you're a Christian now. Well, let's be realistic. How many men would have said yes if that was a part of the gospel presentation? Zero. So here's our task, church. We need to learn from this. We need to recognize that there is within all of us the ability to take things that are not necessary, things that often we misunderstand and then misteach and put burdens on people in presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that our task this morning is to recognize that very quickly there was a problem in Acts 15, chapter 1. The problem is a bunch of men come into the church claiming to know the truth and begin teaching extras, adding to, hey, this is great that you believe in Jesus, but there's a problem that's happening in their midst. There are things that are being taught. And so we need to recognize that when those problems arise, we need to have a response. Paul and Barnabas, I love this, they had no small dissension, meaning they had a big problem with this teaching. A debate ensues. They begin to defend the salvation of the Gentiles and defend the teaching of the gospel. And so here in our midst, if we ever have that kind of situation, we need men who will stand up like Paul and Barnabas and say, but the gospel is this, and those things are burdens. We need to take this and recognize that not only when problems arise in our midst, not only when hindrances are brought up, we should respond, but we should do so in a way, I think, similar to the early church as they discuss, as they listen, and as they begin to debate. And so they address the problem. They send men back to Jerusalem and say, hey, let's get this figured out. Let's figure out how we can do that. That we ourselves should note even here that in the discussion over what is right and true in accordance with Jesus, the men who speak up for the truth are the men who were actually sharing the truth. That when the problem arises about what is right and true in accordance with Jesus, and that there is a response, and this debate begins to happen, the men who begin to speak on behalf of the truth about Jesus are the men who were going and sharing the truth about Jesus. And that as we think about ourselves and our church and any other church around us, that we need to note that those who were being obedient to the gospel were the ones who were able to defend the gospel. And if we aren't living by the gospel, and if we're not taking the gospel ourselves, we need to then follow those who are. Because that's the pattern that we see here. Those who were living in obedience to the mission and the message of Jesus Christ are the ones who are able to articulate and communicate and lead everyone in the right direction. And then we see there at the end of this section of Acts chapter 15, we can start saying things like, we know that it's God's will that people that are lost are saved. We know that it's His people to come to know Jesus Christ. We know then also that we can reduce this. We can, any burdens, any hindrances for us as Christians, we can look at this and say, you know what? They were told to seek holiness in Jesus Christ, and they were to seek fellowship with their brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. Because the issue here is fellowship. The issue is how do we come together around Jesus Christ? How do we come together when there are people from all types of backgrounds and all types of places? How do we come together around Jesus Christ? How do we fellowship in Jesus? How much like me do you need to be to follow Christ? How much like you do I need to become to fellowship in Jesus Christ? For the issue isn't, did they believe? The issue wasn't, was the Holy Spirit present? The issue was, we think you should do this as well. So if you want to be in fellowship with us, this is the step that you have to take. And so for us as a church, we need to maybe pause and consider, what are we sharing? What are we asking of those who are around us in our community that are lost? Are we asking them to be like us? Or are we asking them to follow Christ and to be like Christ? For the gospel should shape what we do and who we are. That the truth about Jesus should shape who we are, and it should shape what we then do as people who follow Christ. For we are supposed to take Jesus Christ and we're to raise him up above everyone else in this world and say that Jesus is the one that should be followed. Jesus is the one that will save you, and it is only him that will save you, and it is in trusting in him and then living and following him that you are saved. We are to elevate Jesus Christ, and in elevating Jesus Christ, we do that in fellowship, in community, in relationships. We do that here in our church. For the issue wasn't, are they elevating Christ? The issue was, how are they coming together around Christ? What are they doing as they come together in Christ? And so we should make sure that we don't only lift up Christ. We should make sure that we then shape ourselves and our lives and our homes around Christ. That our fellowship, this togetherness that we have as a church, is around Jesus Christ. For our salvation is in Christ. Our fellowship is in Christ. So how do we elevate both personally, both in worship services, in how do we elevate Christ in our worship times, in our individual lives, and in fellowship together? And looking here, I found myself thinking through and recognizing there are some ways, there are some marks of a church that has decided to fellowship together in Christ. But I think the temptation is great for every church to do what the subtitle to our sermon message would be. I think there is great temptation to elevate tradition and culture above the mission and the message of Jesus. There's great temptation to take what we've known and say, you should have this too. And so there are ways in the life of a church that we must begin to evaluate and say, who are we and what are we? And how does that, when we take that and put it up against Jesus Christ, how does it match up? What needs to be present if we're going to truly fellowship together in Christ? For we're great at fellowshipping in the things that we share in common. Like, I don't fellowship with you over a love for the University of Tennessee Volunteers. Like, we are not reconciled there. Jesus hasn't brought that bridge to us yet. We will go Tigers, G-E-A-U-X, all day long in my house. So we can't fellowship around football. Because I'm also a Saints fan and not a Titans fan. So how do we come together? Because we do find ourselves in camps. If you like football, there are men in this church you could spend your entire life talking about football with. If you like a different sport, if you like to fish, if you like to hunt, we can find our common ground there. If you like to do crafts and hobbies as women, you can come together and do that. Maybe you like to run and walk, you're going to come together and do that. Maybe you like to cook. We all like to eat it. We come together all the time. We fellowship together in the things that we hold in common, but there for some reason becomes difficulty in coming together around Jesus. For we argue less about food and football and exercise and crafts and hobbies and how you should do those. We argue less about those than we do how you should follow Christ as Christians. So what does it look like? What are the marks of the church that lays all those things to the side and says, we're going to come together in fellowship in Jesus Christ? One, the gospel message is central. That what is taught and what is preached and what is followed by the church that's fellowshipping in Christ, it starts with understanding the truth about Jesus. And then they begin to take steps to remove the hindrances and the obstacles to following Jesus. That if we believe the message about Jesus Christ, we're going to remove the hindrances. We're going to remove the obstacles that keep people from knowing Jesus. So this morning, I rebelled for those of you who don't like suits. See my socks? Yeah. There's a little rebel in all of us, you know? Like we all want that. And all morning, even Jill has been going, I cannot believe you wore those socks. And didn't tell her why. This is, for those of you who don't like suits, this is me connecting with you. A little bit of bright sock rebellion. But here's the thing, because for some, this might be an obstacle. For others, if I was up here in shorts and a t-shirt and sandals, it would be an obstacle to you being able to hear the truth. You would spend all of your time going, his legs are so white. Look at that. There would be obstacles. We need to remove the obstacles. We need to get rid of the things that hinder people from knowing Jesus. That's what we're called to do, because that's the essence of this. Is these men and women have given their lives to Jesus Christ in the city of Antioch. They didn't grow up in the synagogues. They don't know the laws of Moses. They just know God has intervened and changed who they are, and they're following Jesus. And we need to make sure that we remove the things that keep people from knowing Jesus. But we keep the gospel center. We keep the truth center. That not only do we remove the obstacles that would hinder somebody from coming to Christ, we then take it a step further and say, well, how do we remove the things that keep us from fellowship? How do we come together? How do people from all kinds of different backgrounds, people from radically different places, people from broken homes and homes that have stayed together, people maybe really well-off financial situations and those who are struggling day to day, how do we bring all together? How do we come together around Christ? How do we fellowship together? We remove anything that gets in the way. That is at the essence of the letter sent from Jerusalem to Antioch. They're saying, hey, we want to fellowship with you. We want to be in Christ together with you. And so we're asking on behalf of your Jewish brothers and sisters that you would give up a few of these things and chase personal holiness with us for the sake of fellowship. That's what you would take these things and you would lay them to the side to be with us, because there are things that because of who we are and where we've come from, we need some respect to those. I had a chance to visit some yesterday at the soccer fields with some men and women from different churches in our community, and we were talking about the way that we worship, and I said, we have literally the most blended worship service that you will ever find here at New Union. That any given week, we're going to sing old country southern gospel in our service, and we're going to sing something probably written in the Reformation period of the 16, 1700s, a hymn written by the old kind of fathers of our modern faith here as Christians, and we're going to also sing something maybe even written last year. That we seek to say, hey, let's let everybody worship Jesus together. That is the reason that we put those different types of songs and not just one type of song. We want you to come together and worship. That may seem small to you unless you're the one that gets left out every week. That's why as we move to two services, our hope is to try to do them as much the same as possible with the same song selections in both services. To be one church, to be one group, to say, let's even get as nitpicky as that over removing the obstacles to our fellowship. But there are bigger obstacles in our hearts. And we must remove those things that keep us from fellowshipping together in Jesus Christ. And to do that, the way that we remove the hindrances and the obstacles to fellowship is this. We seek humility. We would seek to put your needs above mine. You would look at the people around you in the room today and over in the manna building and say, hey, their needs are more important than mine. And that means somebody else is putting your needs above their own when we do this together, that we would seek humility, that we would seek to understand that the gospel is necessary for true fellowship, that if we don't rightly understand the truth about Jesus Christ, we can't rightly fellowship in Christ. We would recognize that the brotherhood that exists here between Jerusalem and Antioch, they call each other brothers. That this is family. We come together around Jesus Christ. We're unified in Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit brings us together to accomplish the will of God in us and through us. And we put Jesus, we elevate Christ and say, He is central to all things for us. That I will do missions with the University of Tennessee volunteer fans all over the world. I won't hold that against you. Ever. I'll even preach in a sanctuary that has your orange carpet. When we remodel, it will be deep purple. Now it'll never get remodeled. And so we remove those things. We say, we're going to put all the stuff to the side to come together and say, Jesus is at the center of our salvation. Jesus is then at the center of all of our relationships with each other. And so we find ourselves then as a church saying, hey, we want more people to know Christ. We want more people to experience the fellowship of Christ in His church. And so to do that, then we have to make coming to New Union only about Jesus. If we want to remove the hindrances and the obstacles when we're out taking the gospel to people and taking it to those who are lost and who don't know Christ and who aren't experiencing salvation in Christ and don't know the fellowship of the church, we don't tell them, hey, you should come to our church because of anything other than Jesus. No matter how wonderful our children's ministry is, no matter how exciting our youth ministry is, no matter how great the worship service is, no matter how funny at times and long-winded your preacher is, that those are not reasons to come to New Union, that the reason we come is Jesus, and so the reason they should come is Jesus. We remove the hindrances, remove the obstacles, even from our conversations, and say, hey, the fellowship we have is in Christ. And let me tell you who Jesus is. Let me tell you what Jesus is like. And our hope at New Union is that we'll be like that, that we'll be like Jesus, that we'll love you and care for you and give ourselves up for you. We will care for you in the same way of Jesus, and then that we would look around us and see a congregation that would literally only be here because of Jesus. That there would be diversity in all of its forms, unity all in Jesus Christ. And so we find ourselves then saying, okay, let's let this shape us as we think about this afternoon as we go home today. New Union needs to make sure that we rightly understand the gospel message. We need to make sure that we rightly understand that it is by God's grace and through faith only in Jesus Christ that anyone is saved. And if that's the message that we believe, and that's the message that we preach, and that's the message that we live by, and that's the message then that we share, both personally and in our worship services, that even in here we remove anything that doesn't promote the grace of God and faith in Jesus Christ. That we then say in our ministries and in all of our mission efforts, if the gospel is not central, then we're wasting our time. If we're going to try to agree on anything other than Jesus, we will never accomplish that task. Like I said, I will not be a volunteer fan. We're just not going to get there. And for some of you, there are things like how we dress, and there are things like types of music, and there are things about how we should live at home, and what kind of cars we should drive, and what kind of ways we should spend our money, and what kind of things we should do in our spare time and not do in our spare time, that because there are so many varying degrees of opinions and perspectives on what we do in following Jesus, that we must not waste our time trying to get everybody to look like you or me or anyone else in this congregation, but instead, we should focus all of our time and all of our effort on everyone seeking to be like Christ. And to do that, we must understand that it is by grace and through faith and not add anything else to that. So then if we're going to make it about the gospel, we then make it about sharing the gospel, both personally and in our worship services and in our ministries and in our missions, that if we do missions without telling people about Jesus, we've just added something to their home. If we go knock on doors and pass out information without telling them about Christ, we've just given them some paper. We need to make sure that we're telling people about Jesus Christ. So if a team goes out, let's put one person in the team that feels comfortable sharing the gospel. If the team goes out to build, you don't want me building. Trust me. You don't want me adding anything to your home or improving your home in any way, shape, or form. So I'll go tell people about Jesus. There's people like me that can't build things. And there's some of you that can do both. So when we go and do our ministry and our missions, let's make sure that we're communicating the truth about Jesus Christ. And then in making the gospel center to what we preach and teach and to our ministries and our missions, it begins to shape our community of faith and a gospel-shaped community, a Jesus-central church has that fit together. There are pieces that fit together, ways that you can come together and fellowship in Christ and build relationships with each other solely through Christ. And over the last 8 months, there are many of you that are missing those relationships. You talk to me about them on a regular basis. And so for those who are missing that fellowship, who are hurting and wanting that type of community, that type of relationship, that type of Jesus-centered church, I tell you, it's here. Like, it's here. And so I invite you to listen to a few ways that you might be able to participate and grow in that. For every week, about 150 people worship that don't come to Sunday school at New Union. It's not sinful to not come to Sunday school. But I can tell you that you're not going to build really strong relationships in an hour of worship where one or two people do most of the talking. It's even come up in the conversation about what happens if we do have two different worship services at two different times. How are we going to build our relationships? And it's just kind of put the spotlight on the fact that I want to just encourage you to realize that Sunday school is just a group of people that come together and they talk about what God's doing in their lives and they teach the Bible and they discuss it and they pray for each other and encourage each other. And listen, when somebody gets sick here, Sunday school classes are responding before any of us even know in the office. We find out most of the time about what's going on in your lives through those men and women who are leading and investing through our small groups in Sunday school. And so I invite you to recognize the opportunity that exists for gospel-centered, Jesus-centered community. I think for most of us, we need to pour ourselves into that opportunity that happens each week. We need to also pour ourselves into serving together. For many of us that are wanting church to be really significant and this relationship with God to just be more than what we attend and listen to, I want to tell you, you're not going to get it until you're plugged in with some other people and until you're serving. Then my hope, honestly, is, as pastor here, that every single member of New Union Baptist Church will serve in some capacity throughout our ministries here. If you're looking to feel connected, if you're looking to be a part of this Jesus-centered community, then we put a little bit of our feet with our words and we serve together. I mean, how many times have you become really good friends because you worked on something with somebody else? Serve together. Plug in. Jump in. Overwhelm our ministry leaders. Because you want to not just be a group that understands the gospel personally. We want to live this out together and pour into the children and pour into our teenagers and pour into our music ministry and pour into our senior adult ministry and pour into our homebound ministry and our benevolence ministry. Whatever God may lead you to start. That we would recognize that gospel-centered community happens as we come together in groups about God's word, to come together in groups to do ministry together, and then not only would we serve together, but we would go together. That you would go together, that some of you would and say, hey, we're going together on missions. There's a group going to Haiti. There's a group going to Vinemont, Alabama. Where's the next group going to go? That gospel community centers itself on relationships grounded in Scripture, grounded in serving together, and grounded together. For making disciples is a corporate work. The mission of the church is given to the church. It's given to all of us to do this together. Everyone is called both personally to share the gospel and to do it in community to share the gospel. That fellowship and coming together of the truth about Jesus was central to the Jerusalem and Antioch Christians. We need to remove the hindrances, remove the obstacles. We are committed as pastors here to making room for all of you to have a place to serve. We're working tirelessly right now to find ways to communicate so that you can plug in and be a part of what God's doing here. Our Sunday school teachers and the leaders in those groups are working hard right now to find ways to make room, to make ways to invest, to make ways to build relationships and study and pray together and know each other well so that we can care for each other well. And our church is committed to taking the gospel from our front doors all the way to the ends of the earth. We're committed to finding ways to help you carry out this call together. And so, after a message like that, I found myself going, how do we then leave? I just want to challenge you with a couple things. To recognize that our fellowship needs to be only about Jesus Christ. And to make sure that we are removing obstacles and hindrances to people knowing the truth about Jesus. To make sure that we're removing obstacles and hindrances to people being together in Jesus. And then if you find yourself not in, if you find yourself not together with others in Christ, then I invite you to just take a step. Maybe it's to come to a Sunday school class next Sunday. Maybe it's to say, hey, you know what? I've been here for years, and I want to plug in and help somewhere. I want to serve. I want to make sure that other people understand the gospel. I want to make sure that I'm a part of what God's doing here. And for a few others, it's going to be to finally say yes to that leading the Holy Spirit's been putting on you to go way out of your comfort zone and put your name on one of the lists for one of our mission trips. Or for others of you, it's going to be to make the commitment to sponsor one of the kids whose packets are on the table for the Compassion Sunday. To say, I'm going to be a part of this. I'm going to receive and I'm going to give. But I'm going to be in Christ in my salvation, and I'm going to be in Christ in my fellowship and find my place here. And just know that we're committed to that. You won't bother us by asking, hey, how can I plug in and serve? We want you to be serving. We want you to be in. We want Christ-centered community here. And so I invite you to pray. Pray about the many different ways that you can serve and the many different types of commitments that you can make to ministry here. To pray about being involved in the missions opportunities that exist here. And know that we want to fellowship around Christ. And that means we're going to be together in Jesus first. And when He's that for us, it shapes who we are. And it provides roles and responsibilities to all of us within our congregation. So find your place. Let's fellowship around Christ. Food's good here, by the way. It's a good place to fellowship around the table. Let's make our effort to fellowship around Christ through doing ministry and doing missions and caring for each other in relationships. Let's pray together. Father, I pray for us. Lord, I pray with no reservations and no hesitations that you would take every person in this room and you would use them. God, that you would help us to find our place, that you would help us to serve and to care for each other, that you would help us to find a group, a few other families to join together with, to study and to pray with each week. And God, that you would shape the way that we do ministry here around understanding the gospel message about Jesus. Lord, help us to be a part of that, that in every way we serve, we're helping to further our understanding of following Jesus, helping to introduce people to Jesus. God, I pray that we will be a church that's members are in ministry and whose members are on mission. God, that we would literally wrap our whole life as a church around your mission to make disciples and your message, the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. So Father, we thank you for saving us. And we pray today that you remove all of the obstacles and all of the hindrances to people coming to Christ and to people fellowshipping in Christ, and that your Holy Spirit would do in us this work. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to stand together. If you will stand, we're going to sing. And you respond this morning as the Lord leads you. Altar's open if you feel the need to come and to pray. If you want to come and pray with me about whatever's going on in your life, more than happy to do that. If you're in the Manna building, Jeremy is there to receive you. And this morning as we respond, you respond as the Lord is leading you, and if he's leading you here to be a part of our church, to join with us in membership, to be one of those who is serving and who's on mission, then we invite you to join us in that as well. Let's sing together.